Nelson Frady, the pianist there, with the music of Richard Strauss and his Sixth Lieder. We heard the second section, and that is from his Encores recording. Here with the New Classical FM, my name is Mark Wigmore. Let's get to our daily look at the arts, and today, a film that is getting a premiere by way of The Drive-In, The Cuban. It opens next week, July 31st. Here's a moment.
His name is Luis. And he used to be this famous musician back in Cuba. He even played the Cotton Club. He played with Bauza, Machito, Dizzy Gillespie.
And he told you all of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, El Guitarista!
Forgotten legend.
The Cuban has already won numerous awards on the film festival circuit and would have enjoyed a classic in-theater release if it wasn't for the pandemic. So The Drive-In it is. The Cuban features a great cast, including Oscar Award winner Louis Gossett Jr., emerging star Enya Gulya, Oscar and Emmy nominee Shohreh Aghdashloo, who we've watched on 24, The Expanse, and so many other programs and films, Laura Hawley and Grey's Anatomy star Giacomo Giannotti.
You don't have time to talk to your dad. He enjoys company.
He's a drunk.
He's a human being.
We gave him an injection. No. It was doctor's orders.
We teach people how to love. Huh?
In The Cuban, we watch as a young pre-med student named Mina gets her first job in a nursing home where she meets an elderly Cuban jazz musician named Luis, played by Gossett Jr. The staff is understandably stern with her, but Mina takes it upon herself and bends a few rules to see if she can make any headway with his seemingly cemented status, lost in a haze of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. She realizes that humming a simple tune or playing classic Cuban jazz triggers memories, lucidity, even happiness from her patient, and soon is not only bringing in record players and Cubano sandwiches to help him enjoy life, but is even learning of his vivid and sometimes heartbreaking past. Along the way, we learn of Luis's sometimes difficult family dynamics, and we're invited into Mina's complicated immigrant family situation, her struggle to defend her methods within the nursing home staff, and even her love life. To give The Cuban an extra kick, it features an original score by multi-Juno Award winner and Grammy-nominated artist Hilario Duran, who makes Toronto home most of the time. The Cuban was directed by Sergio Navarrete. It's the talent's third feature film. He looks to explore the human condition with his projects. His directorial debut arrived with Looking for Angelina, examining a notorious murder case. He followed up his success there with the colossal failure of The Modern Relationship. And in between films, he's often producing features starring names like Alec Baldwin, Antonio Banderas, and Shania Twain.
Well, what a treat. Director Sergio Navarrete, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm really honored to be here. I love your show.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this film, you've been all over the world on the festival circuit with this movie. I know how that is. It's a big operation. This must feel like the oddest way to finally get it to the general public at drive-ins amidst a pandemic.
It is. It's surreal and in some ways exhausting because I'm really forcing myself to push through the angst or the uncertainty of the future by just remaining busy.
Yeah.
And we just came off our Toronto premiere at Ontario Place, hosted by ICFF, and it was an incredible evening.
Sold out, wasn't it?
It was sold out, and we arrived. We did our drive-through red carpet from the car, and we did our sort of presentation or initial comments, and we presented the movie from inside the car on Zoom. So it was very odd, and I've watched the coverage today and yesterday, and I'm still scratching my head, saying, "Is this real or am I in a dream?"
What a world! What a world! Well, I commend you for taking it down this new road. Why did you want to tell the story of Mina and Luis, their relationship, and the relationships that surround them?
I think it just stemmed from, a personal observation that, the gap between generations is widening, and just our collective guilt around neglect of our elders. you know.
Right.
Looking at the long-term care disaster and whatnot. I mean, it's so timely, and I think it's been on everyone's mind for a very long time, but we've all been too busy working, jet setting, and you know, managing our family life and everything else that we haven't taken a really hard look at it. And now with this pandemic, I think we're forced to.
It is always strange, right? When you put a movie like this together and suddenly the headlines of the day catch up with your story. It's very, very odd.
It is odd. It's, you know, it's sort of a perfect storm. But I don't believe in coincidences, and everything about this movie just came together so beautifully and in such a surreal way that I have to imagine that, you know, it's more than me or my brilliant team at play. I think it's just the way the universe works sometimes.
Sergio, for years I helped to support the Alzheimer's Society's music project, and it's called Music Memory. And for people who don't know, we would raise funds for iPods and iPhones with music playlists on them, made especially for Alzheimer's patients to help with memory. It's actually really based in science, and you speak directly to that idea in this film with Luis as a former musician and his mind being really resuscitated through Cuban jazz and music.
Yes, and I commend you for that. I mean, that whole program was very inspiring, and we used to hear ads about it on the radio, and there was quite a bit of attention on that. And then when we were sort of mounting the movie in the development stage, the writer Alessandro Piccione met with some leading scientists and doctors at Baycrest Hospital here in Toronto, and they had a lot of really fascinating findings to share, and that really shaped a lot of the story.
It's interesting, you know, too, we talked about it on the radio as an idea, but, you know, in your film, we get to actually experience that joy.
Yeah, and I had just the incredible experience to see it firsthand. So I went into some nursing homes, and there was an Argentinian artist, Raul, who, you know, he played guitar when he was younger, and he has Alzheimer's dementia, and his wife played some music to him, and he just came alive. He just came alive right in front of my eyes, and I thought, this is incredible.
It really
and,
is.
It's fascinating how, you know, how powerful the imagination is and how powerful our minds are.
Well, we should give some credit to your actor, and I know it's been talked about a lot, but you must be so pleased with the performance you got out of Louis Gossett Jr. He created happiness for the audience, loneliness, but also real tension, because he can be very aggressive in the film. He's suffering with the disease, and sometimes we don't know exactly what we're going to get, and he just plays it so well.
Well, he is an icon, and he is one of the true greats. You know, when I met him the first time, he recounted stories of being with Brando and Marilyn Monroe at the Actors Studio. I mean, he's been around for such a long time that working with him was such a pleasure. And he took direction, and we worked collaboratively as a team. We became great friends, and he's really one of my mentors. So I owe a lot to him. But on set, I mean, he would give me such a range of options. And what a contrast from his personality. He's so playful and giddy and charming and funny, and then as soon as I call action, he just goes there, and so subtle, you know. On the close-ups, his eyes tell the audience everything they need to know.
It's very true.
It's quite
and
brilliant.
It is brilliant and wonderful to watch. We have to talk about those great Cuban nightclub scenes. I'm not sure where you shot them, but and then you've got this this score from Hilario Duran. It just adds so much color and joy to this film to be able to journey back in time to these moments.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, the bar, we shot most of the movie, or all of the movie in Brantford, Ontario, and Paris, Ontario.
All right.
And so we had to recreate, you know, a piece of Cuba in Brantford. So I really give a lot of credit to my team, the art department, and to my cinematographer, Ciliana, to help me really create that aesthetic in those moments. And then, of course, we shot everything that happens in his mind. We'll call them flashbacks. Happened in Havana, Cuba, where we spent quite a bit of time just preparing those scenes and shooting them.
So,
and Hilario, you mentioned Hilario Duran.
I did.
He's Grammy nominated, you know, what an incredible find to have this gold mine of Cuban, world-class Cuban musicians right here in Toronto.
Well, right. I mean, it just adds such a level of authenticity. I mean, it really raises the bar musically for you guys. So it was fantastic. The Cuban was part of the Canadian Film Festival on Super Channel, so people saw it there. Then it opened the Lavazza Drive-In Film Festival at Ontario Place. We just talked about that on Monday. You were there. There's a sneak preview at the Oakville 5 Drive-In on Tuesday night next week, so you can look into that. And then a full drive-in theater rollout next Friday, the 31st. And what a world, Sergio!
It's been incredible. I mean, we're all in this together, and I think we really have to look at it as a renaissance period where we can really, you know, hit the pause button and reflect on our lives and our values, and hopefully come out stronger and better as people and as artists.
The Cuban, if you would like to watch the trailer or book your tickets for the drive-in experience, write down this website, easy to remember, thecubanmovie.com, thecubanmovie.com. Sergio Navarrete, congratulations on this film.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm ecstatic, and it's been a real pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
We're really glad you stuck with it on this wild journey. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM.